Part 1. The Trouble with Scripture. Chapter 1. We start with the Bible. In the new paradigm, what is preached shifts from the Bible or a passage of the Bible to gospel and elements of the world of gospel. Edward Farley, Practicing Gospel. Some years ago, I was on a night flight from Boston to London on a Saturday and was to preach in a London church on Sunday morning. In those days, I was not intimidated by jet lag and looked forward to my engagement within a few hours of landing at Heathrow Airport. Then, midway over the Atlantic Ocean, we encountered significant turbulence and were warned to keep our seatbelts fastened. Less concerned about the storm than about my sermon, I took out my notes and my Bible, and as I read, the lady beside me, who had been mercifully quiet throughout the flight, observed me. As the turbulence increased, she noticed that I was reading the Bible, and finally she asked, nervously, "Do you know something that I should know?" In the preaching profession, that is known as an illustration in search of a sermon, although it was one I declined to preach at that moment. As with so many people, my seatmate had assumed that the answer to the present dilemma, whatever it was, would be found in the Bible. And while she might not know where or how to look for it, she assumed that, as a clergyman, I did. To many people, the Bible remains a book of magical properties. Taking an oath or swearing on a stack of Bibles is meant to assure the truth, for example. And a Bible in the drawer of a hotel bedside table implies not only the presence of the Gideons, but a formula for relief in moments of temptation or desolation. We assume that the Bible has something to tell us that we need to hear. It is read out faithfully in every church in the world. Preachers protest that they preach from the Bible and only the Bible, and Bible schools, Bible colleges, and Bible institutes have never been more popular. To turn on cable television is to discover a wide variety of Bible preachers and teachers, from well-known televangelists to any media-savvy preacher who can afford a satellite disc or a website. The camera angles always show large auditoriums filled with enthusiastic listeners, their Bibles open to follow the exposition of the text. And many of the programs have their own patented Bible courses of study, which, for an appropriate contribution, are available for purchase. No one in the Bible business simply says, "Read the text and it will be made plain to you." Although many will argue for the plain sense of Scripture, that sense is made clear only through the guidance of one who presumably knows more about it than we do. And there is the assumption that once we read and understand it, the Bible will have something useful to say to us. This confidence in the text's ability to speak to our condition reminds me of the practice of settling disputes and troubles by opening the Bible at random and putting one's finger on a verse, which is taken to be the answer to the problem. Had I applied that principle to the question of my seatmate on my flight to London, what would she or I have made of the situation if my finger had landed, for example, on John 6:12, which reads in part, "Gather up the fragments left over, that nothing may be lost." We start with the Bible because, like Everest, it is there, and it looms large. There is no point in pretending otherwise, but while we may begin there, are we meant to end up there as well? If it is a means...